in sync with Rose, and again, like Terry said, we don't consult each other before the service and say, okay, you say this and I'll say that. We don't do that. But part of the word that the Lord gave Rose to share, and I'm glad my wife recorded it, it was really good, is that God says, set your dreams, right? Something along that line, right? Make your dreams. Step into your plans. And the Lord, it's right here in my notes. I didn't consult with Rose before I wrote it down. It's right here. And it's this. God is with you in your plans. Move forward with them and see His hand at work. That's what God gave me to tell you today before my sermon. This is an appetizer right there. God is with you in your plans. You know, many times we think they're our plans. And I put that word your in quotes because so many times we think, well, this is really my plan or it's my desire and I'm not really sure if God's behind me. And so we hesitate moving forward. I'm telling you, what is in your heart, God has planted. Now move forward with it and watch Him see what, look and see Him at work. Amen? Move forward with what God has put in your heart. He has put plans and desires and dreams in you. Step out and watch Him at work. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, at this time, I'm going to have the ushers pass out a business card to every soul that's in here. One business card per person, only one. If you do that, gentlemen, real quick, come to the front. Come front to back. Here we go. Front to back. Everybody gets a business card. And I'm going to tell you what this is about. We've had these out for a while. We always keep these out on the kitchen counter, of course. You can take them as you come and go each week to church. But here's a challenge I want to propose to you in 2026. You know, it's not hard to grow a church. In the book of Acts, one or two miracles and they had thousands, right? Here's the point. Jesus is worthy to come into for someone to come into church whether they do or don't see a miracle. But you are commissioned from this day forward. And I want to challenge you with each of these business cards we're passing out to you to one time a week, reach out to somebody in your world. Now, this takes breaking out of your comfort zone because strangers don't like being talked to. And it's a bit of a challenge for us to step out and talk to a stranger we've never met before. But it's not that hard. You just got to get a little creative. And if you'll get a little creative, the Holy Ghost will move in. I'm telling you, He'll do some tremendous things. You can be pumping gas at the gas pump. For example, I saw a lady the other day. I didn't step out and talk to her. This is an older gal. And she had a Colorado sweatshirt on. And I thought, you know, I could make a conversation out of that because my parents used to live in Colorado. But I'm just saying that you look for things that are easy shoe in for a conversation. And you say something like, you know, hey, I like your car. That's a great color. Yeah. It's just common ground, right? Say common ground. Common ground breaks the ice. Anything you can find common ground on, you can talk to a total stranger on common ground. And then watch the Holy Ghost open the door. Now, here's the point. Everybody out there needs prayer. People left and right and center need prayer. Have you noticed that hospitals are popping up more so than fast food places? The world is sick and dying and blind and going to hell real quick if we don't do something. Amen. But I'm encouraging you to take the challenge. Talk to one person, not 10, one person per week. Break out of your comfort zone and each week talk to one person. And you can ask them something at some point in the conversation that goes something like this. May I pray for you? Now, something I learned real quick last year is don't ever say, how can I pray for you? You'll get the dumbest answers you ever heard from a lost person. Oh, you can pray for everything in my life. You can pray for world peace, right? World peace. Peace over in Sarajevo or wherever, you know. They're going to shove it over to Europe somewhere. They're going to shove because they don't want the focus on them. It's like the woman at the well. I perceive you're a prophet, right? You know, she kind of changed the subject. So don't say, how can I pray for you? Say, may I pray for you, right? And if you feel so inclined, put your hand on their shoulder. But before you do it, say, may I place my hand on your shoulder as I pray for you? And they may be shocked that you're actually going to pray for them right then, because most of the time people think you're going to walk off and pray for them when you get home or when you go to church next week. They're shocked that you were actually talking about, may I pray for you now? But I want to challenge you with that question. Ask them, may I pray for you? All right. How many of you ever done this? I bet several of you. Yeah, I figure Marianne, she's in the airline industry. She's probably done that many times. I know Brenda has. She's half evangelized most of Alvin. But, you know, it's a real simple thing. May I pray for you? How often do you get a no to that request? Not very often, right? Every now and then you will. You'll get some. But most people will be open to prayer. Now, that's your opportunity to let the Holy Ghost rush in. All right? And if they're sick in their body, say, Jesus is a healer. Did you know Jesus can heal you and you don't have to keep paying doctor bills? Isn't that good news? May I pray for you? May I place my hand on you? Okay. And you do that, and I'm telling you, and when the minute you start praying, then you unleash the Holy Ghost in their life. Amen? Gently, of course. You don't want to overwhelm them. But you unleash the Holy Ghost in you, by your faith. Amen? Release your faith for God to touch them right then and right there and see what God will do. Now, the reason I give you a business card is because when you're done praying for these people, I'm just asking you to do it once a week. I already did mine last week. I talked to the guy across the street. I didn't get a chance to pray for him, but I did talk to him, and I invited him to church. So that was my one for the week. But now, next week, I'm going to start over, at least one a week. You know, the man who was healed at the Gate Beautiful, that was a lame man, when Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none," I'm sure that man then followed Peter to church. Right? My point is this. You go out to a dying, hurting, broken world and bring Jesus, bring healing to them, or bring hope to them. It's unusual that they won't ask, "Where do you go to church?" And that's when you can take out the business card, right? We're not trying to sell our church. We're trying to draw people to Jesus. But this is a pretty good place to bring them to get that. Amen? And so I want to encourage you. We can easily grow the body of Christ. We can easily grow the church. I'm not just growing for growth's sake, but if you look around, we have like 30,000 people in Alvin, just Alvin. We don't have 300 in here yet. So we got a ways to go. Amen? And this city needs some loving. They need some healing. They need some Jesus. Or whatever city you're from, I encourage you, one person a week, find a way to talk to a stranger. Find a way to pray for them if possible. And then if they ask, "Where do you go to church?" Say, "Well, I'm glad you asked." Right? We meet at 10 on Sundays. Come join us. We have a loving bunch of people. You know, I'm proud to bring people here. I don't know about you, but I'm really proud to bring people to this church. I don't have any hesitation because I know y'all will love on them. You'll be warm, welcoming. People don't get that at every church. Yeah, I've visited churches often when we've gone on vacation, and we don't see that everywhere, but we see it here. Amen. So do your part, and the Lord will work through you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're gonna jump right into the Word of God here. God's got a good word for you today for 2026. Those of you that might have missed it last week, we're going to kind of build on what the Lord began. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the Word. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Scriptures that people have sacrificed their life for literally to give us so that we can know the truth and we can see, Lord, what we've not seen before. We can hear what we've not heard before. We can receive all that you've given us through Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, now empower these words by your anointing. Anoint our ears to hear the word, and not only to hear it, but to be doers of the word and bear fruit in 2026 in a great way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, someone shared something with me the other day. It was really cool. I didn't know this, but 2026 is a very special year. The number 26, do you know what it corresponds to? I'm glad you asked. 26. We have it, Alan? It's coming up. 2026. Look at this. You might want to take a picture of this. It's so good. 26 is the corresponds directly to the Hebrew word or the Hebrew name Yahweh. Yahweh. If you look at, the year is 2026, Yahweh, the letters YHW in English we would put, but it's actually a V pronunciation in Hebrew, and the H on the end. These are the four Hebrew words that make up the Hebrew consonants, that make up the name Yahweh. Yod, He, Vav, He, right? Which Yod has to do with the hand, He has to do with behold or see, Vav has to do with a nail, right? And hey, again, means see the nail. The name literally means see the hand, see the nail. Who does that point to? Is that in it? Can you get any clearer? So Yahweh in the Old Testament name is literally the name for Jesus. And each Hebrew letters, they each have a numerical value assigned to them. The letter Yod, which looks like a Y, it actually... has the number 10 assigned to it. Hey, you can see there 5, Vav, 6, 5. When it all adds up to, wow, how cool is that? You might say it this way. It's the year of Jesus. Wow. No coincidence. I think something really special is going to happen this year in regards to revealing Jesus to the world. Amen. Yud, hey, Vav, hey. See the hand, see the nail. It all adds up to 26, and here we are. Yahweh, the year of Jesus. Isn't that glorious? Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, we are people of the Word, people of the Word. That's what we learned last week in our studies. We are people of the Word. We said this. We used the analogy of an airplane pilot. We said that an airplane pilot must learn not only to fly a plane, but also to fly when he can't see where he's going. Or, in other words, fly by the instruments, right? And there are times in life when we can't see where we're going, we must simply fly by the instrument, which is the Word of God. Amen? Even when we don't feel it, we said this, we've got to fly by what is real, not by what we feel. Amen? We fly by what is real, the truth, not necessarily what we feel. And we also said this, that, let me give you this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's look at that real quick. It's just a real short verse. You could memorize it on the fly. Just one pass over it, and you probably have it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. The King James Version has this verse in parentheses. It's like a side thought. And the Apostle Paul was an attorney. He's very good at dissertation, as attorneys are. And so he had lots of side thoughts. This is one in parentheses. 2 Corinthians 5:7 reads this way. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are people of the Word in 2026. For we walk by faith. And how? Not by sight. Amen. We walk by faith. We also said last week that you must take the Bible in these three ways. You must read it. You must chew on it, which is the idea of meditation, not Eastern meditation, but just simply thinking or over pondering. You might say the word pondering. Chew it, read it, chew it, and speak it. Read it, chew it, speak it. Let me say this about reading. Reading the Bible is a spiritual activity. There's not a lot of things you can do outwardly that are spiritual activities. There's a few things. You can pray. You can sing songs of worship. You can kneel. That's a spiritual activity. Amen. In prayer, in honor. You can read your Bible. That is literally a spiritual activity. It draws you closer to God as you do it. Now, for some people, reading the Bible induces sleep. Let me say this about that. there's a lot of complexity to the Word of God. When you open the book, it's like listening to a genius talk. You know, if you were to sit down with Albert Einstein over a cup of tea, and let him do the talking, it'd be about 10 seconds and your mind would be going, what is he talking about, right? Because he's a genius. Listen, God is a genius in the best of ways. So don't be surprised to be overwhelmed by his words. And in fact, sometimes our life is so in knots, in turmoil, and we need actually the rest that comes from just reading the Word. That's why many times if people fall asleep reading the Bible, I don't think it's a terrible thing in itself all the time. Because sometimes you just need some rest. You need to let go of some stress, some anxiety, and rest in God. And so a little bit of sleep, a little bit of rest is not terrible, in doses, the right doses. There have been many testimonies of people who have read the Bible and just reading the Bible or listening to the Bible on tape. Now, we don't listen on tape anymore, but CD or whatever, the MP3. Listening to the Word can also bring not only rest to your body, but literally healing. There are many people that just hearing the Word causes healing to come about in their flesh. Amen. So this is along with the idea of reading is the idea of listening. And in particular, the example I always give, I probably worn it out, but it's just my favorite. Psalm 23. If I'm having trouble go to sleep, when I was a little boy, my mom taught me that. She taught me that by my bedside, memorizing it in the King James. So I have it. It's in my heart. And if I ever have trouble going to sleep, I just go over Psalm 23. I speak it out loud, or, you know, in my mind, I speak that psalm. And I tell you, I can rarely get through two passages of the whole chapter, and I'm out. And I'm out good. Amen? The Word of God brings rest to our flesh. Amen? Let me say this about chewing it. That has to do with reading it. Chewing it, sheep are just dumb. I'm just going to say it like it is. By dumb, I don't mean... That's not a put down. It just means that our mind, it's like a computer that has short-term memory. And I say that looking in the mirror because even as a pastor, as a shepherd, I'm a sheep as well. And I've discovered this many times. I mean, even just the other day, I've come back across a verse that 2 weeks ago the Lord quickened to me. And at the time it was like electrified manna. It was so tasteful in my mouth. And yet a week or two has passed and I already forgot it. That's just dumb. The word leaks out of us. That's why we must chew it day in, day out. God said, meditate on the word day in and day out, in the morning, in the noon, in the night. We were in Idaho for Christmas with our family, had a great time. And the first morning we woke up, we stepped out on the back porch, and here's this beautiful scenery of the Teton Mountains behind us. And off in the distance in the woods, about a mile or two away, we could hear a concert, literally, of wolves singing. It was the most bizarre thing. I've got it on my phone if you want to hear it sometime. I'd never been around that close to wolves. And they were just singing like a choir. I mean, of course, they're all singing different notes. It was just, well, a cacophony of tones. But it was a bit eerie, but kind of cool and awesome at the same time. So the other day, I did some research on wolves. I thought, I wonder how often wolves attack people in Idaho. So I did a little search. And it's not, thankfully, it's not very often. They actually go after cattle more than people, which is a good thing. I'm so glad to hear it now that I'm back here, safe in Texas. But there was a story of a year or two back where 143, count them, sheep ran off into a deep gully because they were being chased by wolves. And as they fell into this snow-filled gully, they actually suffocated one another. Sheep are just dumb. I just thought it was a humorous example. But anyways, sheep need reminding, right? You know, the wolves can't eat us all in one gulp. So maybe 10 of us go off that way, 10 of us go off this. Maybe some of us have a chance, right? So, but sheep just, they do funny things. And I'll just say this as people, the word of God escapes us. That's why repetition is so important, is so important, is so important, is so important, is so... I'll stop now. Okay. Let me encourage you in 2026 to take the Great Bible Challenge, to read not only the New Testament, which we do every year here at this church, but to read through the entire Bible. Now, that only takes 4 chapters a day, and you get a break on Sunday if you do it the 4-chapter-a-day plan, you know, Monday through Saturday. You read 4 chapters. We're already reading 1 in the New Testament, so that just means 3 Old Testament chapters, you know, each day in addition to that, and you're done. That's like 20 minutes worth of reading, 20, 30 minutes, and you get through the Bible in a whole year. I want to, provoke you, church, to do that if you've never read through the Bible yourself. Now, there's times where you're going to get, it'll feel like a bog. It'll feel like, oh, I'm kind of stuck here in Leviticus or Ezekiel or whatever it be, but just ask the Holy Spirit. Don't complain about it. Don't say anything negative. Just ask the Holy Spirit, help me get through this, and you'll see God's hand help you get through the entire Bible. Amen? Amen. You may have said this before, I don't understand it. I have a hard time reading the Bible because I just don't understand it. How many of you ever, by show of hands, you've ever said that? The rest of you will pray for lying spirits. Come off in Jesus. Yeah. Number one, I want to say this. Stop cursing yourself. Don't ever say it again. I don't understand the Bible. There's a verse of Scripture, James 1:18. Let me put that up on the screen here, Alan. James 1:18. He chose to give us birth through the how? The word of truth. The Bible itself is in our DNA. As spiritually born again people, we have the Bible. The word of truth is in our DNA. That's how God gave us new birth. So this book, though it may boggle your mind, your human mind, it's part of your DNA. Say this with me. This book is in my spiritual DNA. That's right. This book is in your spiritual DNA. So don't ever again say, I don't understand the Bible or it's hard for me to understand. No, it's in your DNA. Now you rely on the Holy Spirit, the author, to explain it to you. Amen? That doesn't mean that you grasp everything you read. It just means you trust. I can get this because it's in my DNA. Amen? Last week, I gave you some hints at some good translations of Bibles. If you don't have a good hard copy Bible, I want to encourage you. We don't know what's coming around the corner in history. America is free right now, but we don't know. You know, in China, they don't have Bible apps. I'm going to share some stories with you a little bit later if we get to them about some things that are the reality in China as pertaining to the Bible. But you cannot rely on your phone forever because in China, they took the Bible app off. They actually rewrote the Bible. They may come up with a government-issued Bible that warps stories and warps Jesus and messes things up. But we may not always have this kind of freedom we have in our cell phone in the palm of our hand. You need a hard copy Bible. So let me give you some hints at some good translations. As far as wording, the KJV, just write these abbreviations down if you're taking notes. KJV, that's King James Version. NASB, New American Standard Bible. NASB. And either the ESV, English Standard Version, or NIV, particularly the 1984 is my favorite. Either of those, all three of those that I just recommended, KJV, NASB, and either ESV, which we've issued to the children here at the church, or the NIV 84. Those are good recommended translations as far as wording. Also, the Amplified Classic. I don't want to leave out the Amplified Classic. It's a very accurate translation. It's just a lot of words there. Amen? Now, as far as translations that give you a good paraphrase, a good thought idea for what is the Scripture trying to say in terms of its thought, that would be the NLT, the TPT, and the MSG. Not the kind of salt that we don't want in our food. But the NLT, New Living Translation, TPT, the Passion Translation, and the MSG, the Message. Those are really good if you want to delve deeper into the thoughts of the Word. Amen? Spend the money on a good Bible in 2026. Amen? If it's been a while since you bought a fresh Bible, you know, a guy who's a skier, if he gets a new pair of skis, maybe he feels like a hero on the slopes, right? So maybe you get yourself a new Bible, you'll feel a little more interested in the Word of God in 2026. I encourage you, spend a good $100, $150. You say, Pastor, that's a lot of money. Yeah, but this book will life change your life. I mean, how can you put a price on that? Amen? $100, $150, that's nothing for what this Word will do for your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, in China, the house church leaders, they literally tear out portions. You know, when they meet together for a secretive conference, they might tear out of one Bible, say, Brother, you get 1 Peter. Now you take that back to your church and teach that to your congregation. Sister Judy, you get the book of Matthew. And they'll tear that out of the Bible and they'll give her the book of Matthew. They literally tear Bibles to pieces because they don't have the kind of mass quantities of Bibles we have available to us. We are blessed. Amen. Let me say this too. In 2026, as we're talking about being people of the Word, we're not only talking about the written Word, but about the spoken Word. Now, you know, the Apostle Peter described it this way. He said, if anybody teaches the Word of God, like a pastor, a guest speaker at a church, let him speak as the oracle of God. That's what the King James says, 1 Peter 4:11. Let him speak as if it were the oracle of God. I'm the oracle of God to you. I don't know how you normally view me, but I want to maybe change your thinking today. That when you come to church, you don't see Scott Anderson, a 5x8, you know, 5'8" little Swedish guy who was born in Canada and got to Texas as quick as he could. No, I'm the pastor, which means God's anointed me to bring forth the oracle or the words of God to your life week after week after week after week after week. Amen? And so when you come to church, you know, there's a saying that says, what you don't value, you lose. And that's true. If you don't value your pastor, he'll over time, he or she will mean nothing to you, which means they could be bringing the Word of God. But if you don't value them for who they are, who God has anointed them to be in your life, you'll just see it as another sermon. I got how much? 20 more minutes? Okay, he'll have us out by noon. Whatever. Now, you've got to value what I say as the Word of God, because that's what I seek the Lord for every week. Amen. I don't just put together canned messages from now through the next quarter. No, week after week, I'm seeking, where's the glory cloud going? Amen. Where has the cloud moved to this week, Lord? And so as I get up here, I present, or Terry presents, or Rose presents, people who are in the pulpit here, they present the Word as it were, the Word of God to you. Do you value it as such? I hope you do. Because what you value, you will retain. Amen. Now, let me just, as a side note, and then I'm going to get to the heart of the Scripture for today. A side note as to how to take notes in church. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart all week long, whether you really tuned in or not or heard it. But many times the pastor will confirm to you something the Holy Spirit's been already speaking to you. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So as you're taking notes, I don't expect you to write every word down on your paper that I speak to you. But when things click, when you go, oh, I heard that this week. I saw that in a magazine the other day. I was reading this great article and the Holy Spirit really highlighted that to me. If you hear it twice in a week, God's trying to speak to you, yes, right? Yes. So write that down. Yes. Value that, because what you don't value, you lose. Amen? When I go to a service, if I go to a conference, I intentionally take notes. Because no human mind is flawless. Paper doesn't forget. And I can always go back and I can review. What did they say? What did the Holy Spirit speak to me through what they said? Amen? And that's valuing the Word of God as far as the spoken word. Now turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 105. Now, this is an interesting chapter in the Bible. It's the longest chapter, as I said. It's got 176 verses. It's broken into 22 sections, interestingly enough. You may notice that in your Bible. They look like little paragraphs, don't they? Yeah. There's 22 sections in Psalm 119. There are 22 Hebrew letters in the alphabet. Imagine that. And you notice at the top of each paragraph is in your Bibles, they probably have the words like mem, yod, kaf, nun. Do you see some of those Hebrew words there? Those are the Hebrew letters of the 22 paragraphs that Psalm 119 is broken into. There are 8 verses in each of those 22 paragraphs that you read in Psalm 119. What is God trying to tell us? It's good to, when you study the Bible, this is the kind of question you ask. What are you trying to say? God, why are these Hebrew letters in this particular psalm and nowhere else? I'll tell you. God's trying to say this. The Word of God, because if you know Psalm 119, if you've ever read it, it's all about the Word of God. It just over and over again, it talks about the value of the Word of God. And it's trying to say this. The Word of God speaks A to Z. It's the completeness of God from A to Z. That's what they're trying to communicate here. That's why every Hebrew letter of the Hebrew alphabet is represented in these 22 paragraphs. Isn't that amazing? God's trying to say anything you need to know in life, A to Z, the Word of God's got it covered. Amen? Glory to God. Now, if you notice above Psalm 119, 105, what is the Hebrew letter there? Say it out loud. Noon. It's not noon yet, but it's noon. N-U-N. Now, this is an interesting Hebrew letter. It actually, and Hebrew letters have both a picture and a number associated with them. We showed you what 26 is associated, how those Hebrew letters add up to 26 in the name Yahweh. The letter Nun has a picture association of a fish, which speaks of activity and life. You think of a fish in the water. They don't stay immobile very long, do they? Fish are always moving, right? There's always activity. Now look at Psalm 119, 105, and associate this idea with the word that's here. Thy word, read it out loud if you have the King James, please. Let me make sure you're all awake. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if you have a pen or a highlighter, I want you to ask you to underline or highlight that word my. It's listed there twice, my feet and my path. And the point is this, it's hard to move a parked car, right? You ever tried to steer a parked car, right? But if a car is moving, it's easy to steer it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, but my feet are not stationary. My feet are like fish. They're what? They're moving. My feet are moving. And your word will be a lamp to guide my feet and a light unto what? What appears to be my path, but in reality, it's our path. Right? Because we co-labor together with God. As the word came forth earlier, God is trying to remind us, I've put those dreams in your heart. I've put those goals in your heart for the new year. Now move forward with them. Amen? Life involves activity. If you're not moving, if you're not making progress, you're likely digressing. In a sense, dying. Right? Because life is all about movement, advancement, progression. Amen? And the idea of the fish, the noon, plus the idea of God saying here, my word will be a lamp unto your feet as your feet get moving and a light unto your path as you start walking what you believe to be the path that I've directed you in. My word will be a lamp and a light for you there. Amen. That's the scripture I'd like you to memorize in this first quarter for 2026. We're going to focus on that because we're people of the word. Amen. In this year. And so let's say it again out loud together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, Amy Grant made it popular years ago in a great song. And you know, music helps us memorize the word. Isn't it a great thing? Amen. But God wants us to get moving in 2026. And as we do, He's going to what? He's going to illumine our feet. He's going to illumine our path. And He's going to light the way for us. Glory to God. Rachel quoted a scripture almost verbatim earlier in her worship leading. And again, we didn't consult on this, but if you're in Psalms, you have your Bible, turn over to Psalm 36, verse 9. And she almost stole my sermon there, but it's good. I love it when the Holy Ghost confirms. And this is another powerful scripture regarding light. Psalm 36, verse 9. The word says this, "For with thee is the fountain of life." Now look at the last part. "In thy light shall we see light." In your light, Lord, we what? We see light. See, we have no light in life without him. In your light, we see light. Right? There's nothing but darkness for humanity when we don't have the light of the Lord in our life. Amen? And where does that light come from? It comes from his word. Amen? "Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet," right? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So you say, "Pastor, my kids are entering this new phase and I don't understand what's going on in the house. I need some answers. I don't know really how to parent them. I've never walked this way before." How do you handle that? You see, "I've got difficult neighbors. They're breaking all the rules and there's no HOA to come to my rescue. They're driving me nuts. What do I do?" Or the biggie, how about this big question, which we all ask at different times in our life. What is my destiny? What am I about? What am I supposed to do in life? These are all questions that face us day to day. Amen? When you get to that point, I'm telling you, the Word has the answer for you. Not some quick fix. I've said it many times, and I've lived it, so I can say this confidently. Many people feel that money is the answer to their trouble, but it's not. Government agencies rise and fall. There's all kinds of scams, you know, behind the scenes of, you know, misappropriation of funds, etc., because they're all trying in an effort to throw money at people problems. And many times what people need is not just money thrown at them. They need the Word. They need light in their life. They're walking in darkness over here and people are throwing money and it's just piling up over there and burning up. And they're over here in darkness and nothing's working. They need, in that moment, not more money. They need light. They need light. You say, "Pastor, how does reading about Jacob's 10 mischievous sons help me solve my life problems?" I don't know. I can't tell you. How does the story of Balaam's talking donkey help me get caught up on my car payment? I have no idea. But I can tell you this, when you open the book and sit down in childlike faith and read the Word of God, you're literally turning on the light in your room. And it may seem irrelevant. Those topics I just mentioned are totally irrelevant maybe to your specific problem. And yet the light can turn on in an instant. The light of God, and all of a sudden you have the solution to walk in. And you may not have even felt like you were looking for it specifically at that moment. But the Word brings light. Sometimes a direct answer will come through the Word. Terry had an incident recently. I'm going to ask her to share real quick something that the Lord spoke to her directly from the Word. She was seeking the Lord about something, and he spoke it. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, just real quick. We traveled over Christmas, a lot of you know, and we were just around a lot of sick people in the airports and different places, and it was just a concern for me. And I was like, I do not want to come home from our trip and be sick and all that. So I was trusting God for healing, and I was going to him about it. And one afternoon, we were about to go someplace, maybe to the movies, and I just thought, I'm just going to open the Bible, just get a quick snack, you know. So I just opened the Bible, and right there, and I hadn't even really directly asked the Lord for any kind of word or anything, but I just opened the Word in Isaiah 6:10. It says, "Return and be healed." And I was like, I had it underlined. I don't even remember reading it. I have, but it was just the direct word that I needed. And so then anytime that fear would come in me, I would just speak that. I'd say, no, I'm going to return and I'm going to be healed. And it's not just like, oh, that's neat that it's a coincidence. No, the Word has power. It has power. And so I just kept saying that, you know, I was like, no, I'm going to return and I'm going to be healed. And we returned and we are healthy, you know, and that was just a testimony of that. So, yeah.
Sometimes God will give you a direct word like that. It's just, it's like a bullseye, you know, just nails the problem head on. Glory to God. I want to share a quick testimony from, I've read some powerful stories of the Bible's ability to save people here in the last week, and I want to share a few with you real quick. There were five former Muslim men who independently found the Lord. They found copies of the Bible to read, even though they worshipped, Muhammad. They found Bibles, they got their hands on Bibles, and each of them decided to follow Jesus with their life. Well, over time, they were rejected and disowned by their family members, which often happens in Islam and sometimes in Judaism as well. But they found each other just out of the blue. They bumped into each other, these five Muslim men, former Muslims, and they realized they shared a like precious faith. So they started meeting together. And whatever country they're in, the book that I read the story from would not even list the country they're in because it's so dangerous. But it probably somewhere in the Middle East, an obscure country, maybe Yemen. But they started meeting together nightly from midnight to 3 a.m. in a third-story apartment, hoping to not draw attention to themselves. So they would meet together and they would pray, they would encourage each other, they would share scriptures as they understood from the Bible. And they began to pray this prayer. They said, "Lord, we understand how to be Muslims in a Muslim country, but we don't know the first clue about how to be a Christian, a believer in Jesus, in a Muslim country. Send us someone to teach us how to be a Christian in a Muslim country." Because obviously where they were, it was possibly life-threatening to be a Christian. So they began to pray that, and they prayed it and prayed it for months and months. One night at 1:30 in the morning, the Holy Spirit came to them and said, "Go to the airport and go with the first white man that comes off the airplane, and he will answer your questions." That's a trust, isn't it? Apparently, a lot of white people walked off the plane in that country. So they did, and he did. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the backstory of the guy that walked off the plane that they followed. His name was Nick Ripken, Dr. Nick Ripken, and he's the guy that wrote this book that I've read these stories mostly on Wednesday nights from. I've shared some great stories from his book. Nick had been receiving a phone call from a doctor, a physician, from an obscure country. He wouldn't list the country, but it was probably like a Middle Eastern country that's heavily Islam. And this doctor kept saying, "I believe God wants you to come to our country. He has an assignment for you." And this guy was already booked up. He was going to go to China. He was going to Central Asia, some other countries to study persecuted Christians. But he just did not have time in his schedule. And he kept telling this doctor, he kept putting him off and saying, I just can't squeeze it in. Maybe later at the end of the year. And this guy would not give up. Every time Nick turned around, he would open his email, open his laptop, and there'd be another email from this doctor saying, "I believe God wants you to come now." Well, he put it off for months and months. And finally, what happened was God shut all the other doors he was supposed to go to. He'd get an email from this, this place in China where he was about to go. And the guy said, "Hey, the pastor you were going to visit just got thrown into prison. It's not a good time for you to come now. So maybe we should reschedule." So this happened two or three times to him. And finally, he realized every door is shutting except for this country. And then again, he'd get this call and this doctor. And finally, he told the doctor, "Look, obviously God's shutting every door. I'm going to come to your country." So the day he landed at 1:30 in the morning that these guys were told by the Holy Ghost, go down to the airport. The day he landed and got off the plane, and he started walking. He had quickly identified this doctor, but apparently it was so dangerous in that country that they started walking together. And the doctor looked over at him and said, "Do you know these five men that are following us?" And obviously by their dress, they looked like Muslim men. He said, "No, I've never met them. In fact, I didn't know who you were till I met you just now." And the doctor looked over his shoulder one more time and he said, "Here's my cell phone number. If this turns out all right, call me and we'll reconnect." And he walked off. Never saw him. Again, in the short term. But these five guys kept following him. And he was rushing back to the airport. Wasn't going to give him the time of day because he's thinking these guys are spies or, they're here to trap me. And finally they walked up to him and they grabbed onto the back of his coat and they said, sir, please, we have to talk to you. We believe in Jesus." Well, that stopped him in his tracks. So that night he went home with him in total trust because his doctor contact was gone now. By now he had nowhere else to go. So he went back to their third floor apartment with them. And here's their stories. I want to just share two quick stories of how they found Jesus. One of them said this, "I dreamt of a blue book. And in the dream, a message came to me and said, look for this book, read the Bible." So he said, "One day in a Quran bookshop of all places, amidst a sea of green books, on the back shelf, I noticed this one little blue book. So I made my way back there and picked up that book and took it home with me. It was a Bible. He took it home and read it 5 times and then came to know Jesus. That's the power of the Word of God, is it not? Another man said, I dreamt of finding Jesus. I didn't know how or where to look for him. And one day while I was walking in the market, a man walked up and said, the Holy Spirit said to give you this. And he handed him a Bible. He took it home and read it cover to cover 3 times and gave his life to Jesus. Folks, there's power in this book. There's power in the Word of God beyond what we've comprehended. We've got books and books. We've got 6 or 7, 8 copies on our bookshelves at home. And if some of those have grown dust after a while, you have forgotten how powerful this book is. And I have too, because we're like sheep. But this book has power. If this book has power to save a wandering Muslim man from the depths of darkness in that country, wherever he be, how about your complex problems? You think they're too big for God? You think the darkness that's shrouding your mind, the anxiety that's trying to crowd your life, is too big for the great God that's in this book described? No. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. I want to read to you. Can you take one more? This is from a whole different source. I just stumbled on this on the internet. A lady who wrote a blog, and she had a big heart for the world. Sounds like she was maybe a single woman, wasn't married, so she didn't have any family tying her down. So she liked to travel a lot. And she said, I love to go to countries and share Jesus with different cultures. So she made some connections to smuggle Bibles into China. This just happened last year. This is, a year ago, April of 2024. And in one incident, she took 2 different trips. Going from Hong Kong, she would take suitcases filled with Bibles. She'd take a backpack with 1 change of clothes. And the suitcases all had Bibles in them. So in one incident, she came from Hong Kong and got up to the line where you put your suitcases through the scanner. She said she was terrified. But she noticed right before she got up there, right before her suitcases went in the scanner, all of a sudden, this Japanese family that was trying to come into China over here, they were resisting going through customs. They created a ruckus. And all of a sudden, all the guards with their machine guns and even the guy running the scanner turned their whole attention over there, and her suitcases went through the scanner unnoticed. So she quickly walked to the other side, took her suitcases, and tried to look real, just ho-hum, walking into the country with her suitcases of Bible. So that went successfully. She took her 2nd trip into southern China, a town called Guangzhou, and this is what she writes. She said, as I drew closer to the scanner the 2nd time, I kept waiting for some distraction to occur. Yet to my horror, as my luggage passed through, the commotion actually became me. Guards surrounded me, pushing me with their rifles, and ushered me into a holding cell with no windows. 2 guards were present. One was screaming at me in Chinese as the other pointed his rifle at me, and I was trying to remain calm, telling them I spoke no Chinese. 3rd guard brought in my suitcases and opened them, exposing the Bibles. He started throwing them at me across the room, continuing the tirades in Chinese. I had no idea what was being said, but I was certain it wasn't a welcome speech. The room cleared, and I waited for hours in the hot, stuffy room surrounded by Bibles all over the floor, praying, but becoming more and more nervous. This is just a year ago in China. This is the reality of China, how they view Bibles. Eventually, 2 different guards entered, and one spoke broken English, and as he bent down to pick up one of the books, he held it up and stated, this book illegal. Why you bring in our country? Do you mean to propaganda our people? Who you see here in the city? Who meet you to buy from you? I quickly prayed that God would give me the right words to say. And I looked up at the man from my metal chair and said quietly, this is a good book. It brings hope to people. I wanted to give these away to bring hope to your people. No one is buying them. I had no idea if he understood me or not. He just snorted and replied, foolish woman, this is not lawful and you can go to jail. No care if you are American. He spoke briskly in Chinese to his companion and the other officer left the room. The remaining guard stared at me for a very long time. Then without saying another word, he picked up a small Bible and tucked it under his belt, covering it with his shirt. He didn't smile. He didn't talk. He just stared at me as if warning me not to speak. The other guard returned with a garbage bag and tossed all the remaining Bibles in it. Both guards left and I remained in that cell for over 12 hours with no food or water. At last, a new set of guards came in. 2 simple words of English were spoken. You leave. They escorted me to the airline desk where an agent issued me a return flight to Hong Kong and put me on a watch list for customs agents. The guards accompanied me to the boarding area and made sure I was on the plane. Everyone was staring. I was a criminal. And I was going back to the quote-unquote disillusionment of freedom. What she means by that last phrase, disillusionment of freedom, she had met a pastor on the first trip into China, and he said, you know, in America, you guys have all these freedoms, and yet you think things are going to fill your life with contentment. He said, I would rather go to jail for the gospel. We have true contentment. In America, they have the disillusionment of freedom. You see what he means? So she said, I returned from Hong Kong to my disillusionment of freedom. It's a different world out there, folks. And I share those stories to help you appreciate what we have in our hands that is so easily taken for granted. This is no ordinary book. People give their lives day in and day out to get their hands on this book. As you heard the story, it's kind of humorous to me. Obviously, the guard was either a believer himself or wanted to know more about Jesus, tucking the Bible in his shirt himself, right? But I want to say this as I close today. Have you got questions? Have you got anxieties closing in on your mind? Have you got dark areas of your life you just can't seem to figure out? Turn on the light. Turn on the light. Of all the possible resolutions you can make in 2026, and I know there's a lot of good ones out there, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to try to get more rest. The best resolution I would love to hear come out of your mouth is that in 2026, I'll be a person of the Word. I'm going to read the Bible. I've never read the Bible through. I'm going to read it through this year. Or at least the New Testament. Amen? I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to chew on the Bible. And more than that, I'm going to speak the Word. When the Lord quickens me, I'm going to speak the Word and watch the power of God change my life. Amen? At this time, I'm going to have the ushers come. Bobby, if you would, please. We've got the updated Bible bookmarks. If you've never done this with us, I encourage you. If you've never read the New Testament, we have new Bible bookmarks. If you guys go ahead and pass them out. Come to the front. Pass those out. If you would like to be on our plan to read through the New Testament, we read one chapter a day, Monday through Friday. We take Saturday, Sunday off. But if you read one chapter a day, Monday through Friday, by the end of the year, you'll be done with the New Testament. Amen? Now, this is also posted on our app. You can get to it by tapping Sundays, Bible reading. There's two or three menu drops you got to get to it. But this is posted on the app. So if you're ever away from your home Bible, you're on the road, and you need to know what chapter we're reading for the day, this is on the app, okay, under Sundays. Just click that little tab at the bottom of the app. It says Sundays, and then it says, I think, Bible reading, and then Bible reading plan, and you'll see this pop up on the app. It's also on our homepage, on our website, the Bible reading plan for 2026. Are you excited to get in the Word this year?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. Alan, if you please post that scripture one more time, Psalm 119, 105. Let's read it out loud together like we're thrilled because we have access to it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Amen. We're not going to walk in the dark in 2026. We're going to step out and whatever plans, dreams, goals God's put in our heart, as we step out in faith, the light is going to be there for our path. It's going to illuminate the way we move. We're going to be like the noon fish. Amen. We're going to be full of life, full of activity. We're not going to be stationary. It's hard to steer a moving car. We're going to move in God, and God is going to light our path. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands to heaven. I want to pray for you. A blessing on you as you read the Bible more this year than you've ever read before. Father, let a spirit of wisdom and revelation be given to your people. May books come alive in this book that as never before. May we understand what you're saying to us, for the Bible is in our DNA. The word of truth begat us, and therefore the word is in our makeup. We thank you that we can understand it as the Holy Spirit illumines it and makes clear your word to our hearts this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're dismissed, if there's anybody here, you're not a believer in Jesus, you've never surrendered your life fully to him, now is the time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I want to pray with you. Before you leave, please meet me here at the altar. I'm going to pray a prayer with you, a real simple prayer to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. We'll make sure that your heavenly ticket is purchased and you're set for eternity in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Have a great week in Jesus' name.